As hard as it would have been to believe just a few weeks ago, first place in the NFC North is at stake when the Packers traveled to Minnesota to take on the Vikings on Sunday. Can the Packers break out of a three-game losing streak? We'll find out with Chris Calloway of the La Crosse Radio Group. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Chris Calloway of the La Crosse Radio Group. Chris, how you doing today?
Doing well this morning. Thanks, Brian.
We're glad you could join us. You're of 1490 WLFN Classic Rock 100.1. You're also host of the Behind Enemy Lines podcast at PackersTalk.com. Have I left out any outlets there, Chris?
That pretty much covers it. I do a little bit of writing as well for the La Crosse Tribune, but lots of stuff going on here in Western Wisconsin.
All right, let's start out with that, with the media market you work in, which I think is unique because as being in La Crosse, which for anyone that may not know, if you're not from Wisconsin listening to this podcast, it's right on the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota. So, Chris, can you give us some insight what it's like to work in that type of environment? And if you have any good stories, feel free to share, too.
Sure. Well, I mean, I technically live closer to Minneapolis than I do to Green Bay, and it's a whole heck of a lot easier to just hop on the freeway and get up to Minneapolis. But there are plenty of Viking fans that certainly live in this part of town. My roommate is a Vikings fan. The person I share an office with at the radio station is a Vikings fan. So they're there. They've just been, you know, maybe a little bit quieter over the past couple of years for certain. It's certainly interesting than the past couple of weeks as well, because they're becoming a little bit more and more vocal now that they're moving up in the first place in the NFC North.
That's the. Are they getting cocky at all, or is there still some hesitancy yet?
Well, it's interesting. They were maybe a little bit more vocal about it after they beat the Rams 2 weeks ago to move into a tie for the division, and then after they beat the Raiders and the Packers lost to the Lions, obviously last week, it was kind of a we don't know what to do now. You know, now we're in first place. The Packers just looked terrible. I mean, it's a total reversal of roles that they're like afraid to jinx it now. So I think, you know, once the outcome of this game this weekend between the Packers and the Vikings is decided, then it might be a little bit more, you know, chirping either way. But for right now, they're kind of holding back a little bit, maybe figuring it's too good to be true for at least a week.
Bragging rights are at stake this week in addition to first place in the NFC North. Chris, as we turn our attention to the Packers here, I wanted to start off by having a little discussion of Aaron Rodgers, who was listed on the injury report for the first time this season with a right shoulder injury. In your mind, does that explain some of the struggles he's been having lately?
Explain completely, no, but maybe to a certain extent, because in watching it, it's just tough to, you know, wrap your head around why he's missing these passes. I think, you know, one of the stats that stood out to me most about the game against the Lions was that he threw the ball 21 times to Devontae Adams and only completed 10 passes there. So either he and Devontae weren't quite on the same page. It's just something with his arm not letting him to work those passes in. But there's something missing in the cohesiveness between Aaron Rodgers and the wide receivers. So, I mean, the injury, maybe a little bit, but I certainly wouldn't pin too much of it on him being banged up.
Of course, something else that's gotten a lot of attention this week is the suggestion or questioning if Aaron Rodgers' relationship with Hollywood actress Olivia Munn might be to blame. Where do you fall on the spectrum of whether it's right to question if there's trouble in paradise?
Not. I can't imagine that ever having really an impact. I mean, if that's the case, what are people saying about Peyton Manning's wife? You know,
yeah,
he certainly had a really rough go of it here the past couple of weeks. So I think it's easy to kind of point to that as, you know, something that sounds good in the media, but, you know, especially with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, I can't imagine that ever having an impact, you know, once he steps out on the field.
It's interesting. It's gotten a lot of attention, to say the least. Whether it's worthy of getting attention is another matter. If we are talking about other players with injury issues, we've learned Jared Abradaris will be out a couple weeks, and Ty Montgomery was downgraded on the team's injury report. How much are these injuries going to affect the team's wide receiving core and Aaron Rodgers' targets, I guess?
Well, it was certainly nice to see Jared Abradaris kind of emerge as a downfield target later in that game against the Lions. It was something that the Packers, I think, had been desperately hoping for, somebody that he could that Aaron Rodgers could air the ball out to, obviously not having that threat in Jordy Nelson this season. Ty Montgomery could kind of fill that role a little bit, but now with both of those guys out, I don't know what they do. I mean, they looked good, really good, on the first drive of the game against the Lions when they were attacking all different parts of the field. You know, you got guys coming across the middle, you using Randall Cobb in some very unique ways, but then that stalled out early on. So, I mean, there's always that guy, Jeff Janis, that you'd like to see maybe brought into the fold a little bit, but, you know, if that chemistry that isn't there, I mean, I don't think it's worth forcing that. So I don't know. I think you just got to continue to get creative. And I mean, you still have playmakers, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, that you can use. I mean, heck, even Justin Perillo looked pretty darn good against the Lions. So they're not, you know, dead in the water by any means, but I think they need to, go back to the drawing board a certain extent and find ways to get the ball into the hands of their playmakers.
You just alluded to it briefly. I speculated this week that it might be now or never time for Jeff Janis because of these injuries, Abradaris and Montgomery not looking good for this game. I mean, are we reaching a crossroads with Jeff Janis here? Because I don't think the door opens any more than it is right now for him.
Right, and I mean, the hype level couldn't have been much higher about him, especially after Jordy Nelson went down. So at some time, it's kind of put up or shut up. I mean, you got to go out there and, you know, give it an opportunity for him to be, a factor in this offense. And if it doesn't work, then you move on or you try something else. So, I mean, I think, like you said, this is as good a time as any for him to maybe be worked into the offense, take a couple of those downfield threats. I mean, we haven't seen Aaron Rodgers do the play action where he rolls out and just airs it 40, 50 yards downfield yet. So why not? I mean, maybe the Vikings have a couple of corners that you could pick on here in the game this weekend and take a shot on the road. I mean, what do you got to lose at this point?
We're talking to Chris Calloway of the La Crosse Radio Group, among many outlets, here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning, previewing the upcoming Packers-Vikings game. Chris, on Thursday, Mike McCarthy also announced he's spending the majority of his time with the offense, because it was a big storyline during the offseason that he would spend more time with both the defense and the special teams. So I guess my question to you, is this going to help, and how comfortable are you with the current setup the way it is with Tom Clemens calling plays?
Well, to me, it didn't look like it was too big of a play calling issue in the game against the Lions. I mean, it was just a lack of execution. I mean, you miss that many throws, you don't open the holes for the running backs that you need. So, like, I've never really felt that it's been a play calling, from a big picture standpoint, a play calling issue. So maybe McCarthy, you know, getting in there, just tweaking that a little bit rather than completely overhauling it, is a good thing, because the defense looked pretty darn good against the Lions. Granted, it's the Lions, but I mean, outside of that big kick return and that, you know, catch and run by Golden Tate late in the game against the Lions. I mean, the defense could have walked out of there pretty much, you know, giving up single-digit points. So it's not something I'm too concerned about this-wise, but or this week yet. But if they're going to you know, spend the time on it, you'd like to see some results on the field.
If we look a little bit at this matchup in particular with the Vikings, do you think the Packers can stop Adrian Peterson? Because coming back this season, he's been darn good.
Mm-hmm. And they certainly don't have a great history of stopping Adrian Peterson.
No,
so I think it's a game where you kind of want to let Teddy Bridgewater try to beat you. I mean, I don't know if you commit another guy into the box, do everything you can to stop Adrian Peterson and kind of rely on your, you know, young secondary to match up against a wide receiving corps from the Minnesota Vikings that is good but still young as well. So I think obviously the main focus of that defense needs to be Adrian Peterson this weekend, leading the league and rushing on pace for 1,700 yards or something like that. I mean, I still like Peterson's chances just based off of his track record against the Packers, but I think that absolutely needs to be the number one focus of the defense.
You talked about letting Teddy Bridgewater beat you in this collection of wide receivers he has at his disposal. I think we could be looking at a situation where it's kind of interesting. Could be you've got two rookies here on both teams. You've got Stephon Diggs, who's been huge for the Vikings, and you've got Packers cornerback Demaryius Randle, who's been huge for the Packers. This could be a matchup for years to come between these two teams, I think, and a very interesting one. You know, who's going to win this battle?
I mean, you'd like to think that Demaryius Randle has been playing really well over the past couple of weeks. I mean, he's come up with a couple of big interceptions. He's given up a couple of, you know, those rookie mistakes. Plays. I think there was especially one in the Carolina game where he got turned around, but he certainly looked good. And, you know, just about everything you would want out of a rookie first-round pick. And Stephon Diggs, you know, certainly coming on a little bit later, establishing a rapport with Teddy Bridgewater. But, you know, I like Demaryius Randle's chances, and, you know, you're hopefully that there's enough help around him. I don't know who's all going to be healthy and ready to go this weekend, but enough help around him in the secondary to help neutralize the rest of Teddy Bridgewater's passing options.
We just talked a moment ago about Adrian Peterson and then the Vikings ground game. If we turn to the Packers side here, are they finally going to be able to establish a ground game between who's ever carrying the ball? Eddie Lacy, James Starks, is that going to get back on track?
I mean, I think McCarthy came out and said that Starks is going to get the first series and Eddie Lacy is going to get the second series, and I think it's going to depend more on that second series. I mean, I like, obviously, what James Starks has been able to do this season, but I think it still needs to come back to Eddie Lacy and have that consistent ground game, that consistent respect that, you know, anytime you hand the ball off to him, he's going to get 4, 5, 6 yards. And, you know, that just certainly hasn't been the case for the Packers, especially as of recent this season. And, you know, that opens everything else up for the offense. You know, if Aaron Rodgers is able to use the play action, is able to, you know, get out of the pocket on his terms a little bit better rather than having two guys chasing him from behind, I mean, that opens things up for the Packers that much better. So as much as I like James Starks and what he's done over the past, you know, month or so, I still think it comes back to Eddie Lacy and having that consistent approach. I mean, he doesn't need to go off for 150, you know, 200 yards in a game, but, you know, 20 carries for Eddie Lacy, you know, like 90 to 100 yards is almost perfect for Lacy for what this offense needs.
All right, if we take a look at this game here, what do you see happening? Do you have a prediction for me?
I mean, I think it's going to be in that mid-20 range. I think both offenses are going to be able to generate a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a barn burner, but I also don't think it's going to be, you know, like a 10-9 slugfest. I do like the Packers to get back on track this week. I just refuse to believe that Aaron Rodgers can, you know, have another bad game in this offense, you know, can't get going again. Even if it's the Vikings, and maybe it's naive of me to think that, but I do like the Packers 27-24 on Sunday.
I like that a lot. Chris, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate talking a little Packers football with you. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your weekend. And hopefully there's a Packers victory to talk about.
Certainly hope so. Appreciate it, Brian, and thanks for the time.
All right, take care. Chris Callaway of the Lacrosse Radio Group joining us here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to him. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as we continue on with the show here in our next segment.
Packers news of the day.
There we go. It just kind of providing my reaction to several of the items we talked about here with Chris Callaway, and I'll get to my own game prediction here in a moment. But, you know, since our last episode of Railbird Central, a few things have happened that I kind of wanted to address that I haven't had the chance to here, at least in audio format. I've expressed a few opinions over at 24/7 Sports through my writing, but you know, this coaching change that Mike McCarthy said he would now, as of this week, be spending a majority of his time with the offense. I think if we're looking at the larger picture here, this is the second coaching change, second changing coaching duties in the past 3 weeks the Packers have made, because it was prior to the Panthers game where the Packers moved quarterbacks and wide receivers coach Alex Van Pelt from the box down to the field level to work with Aaron Rodgers during the game, kind of freeing up Tom Clements to focus more on devising a plan of attack for the upcoming series. And now you have this, after the third consecutive loss, McCarthy working primarily with the offense, just like he used to. And, you know, I kind of wonder, for one, this may be the only move that's left for the Packers to make until Mike McCarthy takes back play calling duties, because I don't think there's any more coaching changes that can be made. You know, he's just about pulled out all the stops here. So either the Packers start getting back on track on offense and start getting back to the mold selves, or Mike McCarthy is going to take back play calling duties sooner or later, because you can tell he's feeling the heat. He wouldn't be making these changes, or they wouldn't be making these changes, if that wasn't the case. So how long that is remains to be seen, and could very well hinge very much on what happens this upcoming Sunday against the Vikings. And on top of that, I just threw this out there, and I don't know how much traction it's going to get. I'm not even sure if I believe it myself. I kind of left it open-ended. I didn't have a real strong take on it. But in light of this, you know, second coaching move in 2 weeks that the Packers have made, I wonder, are there too many cooks in the kitchen for this Green Bay Packers offense? And yeah, if you read our post at 24/7 Sports, it may in small part have been just an excuse to post the too many cooks video from Adult Swim. If you've never seen that before, please do yourself a favor. Google, or it's on YouTube. Google too many cooks. You can thank me later. But if we get back to some Packers talk here, the Packers have so many guys now involved with the direction of the offense. You've got, of course, the head man, Mike McCarthy, who kind of has veto power over everything. To what extent he exercises that veto power, I don't really know. Or if he even, you know, maybe calls the occasional play. He hasn't really said anything about that. But you've got the head man. You've got play caller Tom Clements, who was named associate head coach during the offseason. This for a team with already had an associate head coach in linebackers coach Winston Moss. So now they have one each, kind of one on offense, one on defense. If anything were ever to happen to Mike McCarthy, I don't know who would be take over for him. That's never really been defined, I don't think. But anyway, you've got, you know, but Tom Clements has kind of been under fire for his play calling, whether that's, you know, whether there's any merit to that or not, I'm not really sure. I think people get a little bit, you know, overreact to things like that. You've got Edgar Bennett, who was promoted during the offseason to offensive coordinator. And while, you know, his job is not calling plays like most offensive coordinators, it is more so during the week, kind of devising a game plan, a plan of attack. How are the Packers going to attack the Vikings? That's kind of Edgar Bennett's role. And you've got quarterback and wide receivers coach Alex Van Pelt, who's now been moved from the box to the field, and how intimately he works with Aaron Rodgers. And you've got Aaron Rodgers himself, when it's kind of been debated for years how much freedom he has to change plays at the line of scrimmage and audible and things like that. There you go. There's kind of five men right there, not to take into account any of the other offensive coaches, not to take into account any of the other offensive players. Are there too many cooks in the kitchen for this Green Bay Packers offense to work? Does it need to be streamlined? Are the Packers getting too top-heavy with too many, you know, a head coach, a play caller, and an offensive coordinator all at the top there, kind of, you know, all having their finger into the soup, I guess. I don't know what metaphor you want to use, but, you know, I'm just throwing that out there because something's not working, there's been no shortage of suggestions about what's wrong from just about any player to the play calling to now blaming Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend. So, I mean, it's just another thought, and I don't know what the answer is, but I'm throwing it out there. So there you go. There's the too many cooks theory. Another piece of news that I've wanted to expand upon here, and we talked about a little bit this with Chris Callaway, Jeff Janis, as I, you know, said to Chris, you know, I think we're reaching a now or never point with Jeff Janis. I mean, we've been talking about Jeff Janis on the show for a long time. And again, I mean, I don't want to cover ground extensively that I already have before. Understandable. He wasn't, you know, used his rookie year, really. Understandable. But now we are now halfway, more than halfway through his second season in the NFL. Jeff Janis deserves a opportunity to fail. I couldn't even almost believe those words came out of my mouth. This is now not an opportunity for Jeff Janis to succeed. He deserves an opportunity to fail because it's something we've never seen him do during a game, whether we're talking about preseason or regular season. Yeah, he's made some minor route running errors during games. Anything that's changing the outcome of a game? I don't think so. I mean, I think it was during the Kansas City Chiefs game. Like, they went and they threw a deep ball to Jeff Janis. I think it was the first offensive play of the game, and he arguably could have run a better route there. There you go. Is that the worst thing Jeff Janis has ever done during a regular season football game? The top three wide receivers on the depth chart, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, James Jones, all three of them arguably dropped what could have been touchdown passes this past week against the Detroit Lions. They did that when the lights are on, when there's millions of people watching. Can Jeff Janis do any worse than that? All we've seen Jeff Janis do is succeed and provide a big play ability. Five touchdowns in the past two preseasons, and then he finally gets his opportunity week six against the San Diego Chargers. He has two catches, and what were they for? 79 yards. I forget the number off the top of my head, but he averaged over 30 yards a catch in just two receptions. You thought at that point, okay, we see he's this guy can be a game breaker. Let's get him involved. No, he's been phased out. He's been phased out again. He took one snap against the Detroit Lions. Fine, you don't want to use him. You don't want him to be a three-down player. Fine. But figure out a way to use him a little bit. He's worthy of a few targets a game for his athleticism alone. Come on, Packers. It's beyond time. I understood last year. That's okay that he wasn't involved. He came from a rudimentary Division II offense. We all get that. But let's give Jeff Janis an opportunity to fail. You know, I haven't seen it yet. I have, during training camp where, you know, people wonder, is he making mistakes in practice? Two training camps now, I have yet to hear anybody say, you know, when you see him on a practice field 20 times last summer, 20 times this summer, that he's, you know, just an absolute, you know, mistake prone I've never seen that from a single reporter. And how many people are there covering the Packers beat? 20? 30? I've never seen, you know, other than, you know, yeah, he makes the occasional mistake. Well, Christ. There were enough Packers receivers making mistakes during this past Lions game. They've been making mistakes all year. Jeff Janis, if he does make mistakes, he'll just be another one out there making them. Give him a chance. It's now or never. They Jared Aberdare's, Ty Montgomery, they're injured, probably not playing. Aberdare's definitely not. Montgomery's still, maybe there's a sliver of hope, but after being downgraded yesterday on the injury report, not looking good for him. Now or never for Jeff Janis. Okay, there's your catching you up on my own two cents here. If we take a look at this Packers-Vikings game, kind of my thoughts on it. I think the key to this game is the Packers stopping Adrian Peterson, or, you know, not stopping, limiting his effectiveness, however you want to define that, I guess. If they do that, I think the Packers have a chance, you know, because it's really is remarkable for Adrian Peterson, you know, basically not playing all of last season. What did he play in one game? For him to come back at, you know, especially his age, he's no longer a spring chicken anymore. Adrian Peterson is getting to the point where at some point you think, you know, age has to catch up to him. But it hasn't been this year. The Vikings have the number one rushing offense in the NFL. And you know what? They're not going to abandon it. You know, like the Packers sometimes abandon their running game. The Vikings aren't going to abandon Adrian Peterson. Even if they're behind in the second half, they're going to continue to run him because he's the best thing they got going. And here's the problem I see with this week's game. It is the way the Packers have been headed. I thought, you know, losing to the Vikings, Panthers on the road, two very good teams on the road, I just kind of chalked it up to that's really tough. That's really difficult. And I thought they would bounce back against the Lions, but it didn't happen. I just, at this point, I can't see the Packers offense magically clicking, flipping that switch, and all of a sudden they're back to being a top five passing offense in the NFL. Now granted, I can see the Packers improving over time. I think it'll be gradual. I think they'll, and it could be a good thing where they're, you know, just keep growing all the way up to the, you know, the season finale and into the playoffs. Maybe that's the perfect time to be doing it. But can I see the Packers offense clicking on all four cylinders this Sunday against a respectable defense and an opponent that's, you know, probably going to play keep away with the football? You know, as they pound away Adrian Peterson, I don't think this Packers offense is going to be back totally. You know, what I have predicted here is a 24-20 Vikings victory. I hate to say it, and again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Chris Callaway is right. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm always wrong when I predict a Packers loss. But like I said, if you're looking for a podcast where you're predicting the Packers to go 16-0, you're listening to the wrong show. I'm sorry. I hope I'm wrong. Feel free to make fun of me if I am. And the worst thing is, I mean, if the Packers lose a fourth consecutive game, where's the morale of this team? You know, is it over for them then? You know, how do you rebound after four consecutive losses and go into the playoffs and you know, make some ground? I don't know. Maybe they'll be super motivated for that Thanksgiving Day game, national television, Brett Favre game. I don't know. We'll deal with that next week, I guess. But yeah, I see the Packers, you know, basically the way I rationalize this, I got the Packers scoring 20 points. Like that's four scoring drives. Like, you know, that's kind of good. That's progress. But unfortunately, two of them coming up with field goals instead of touchdowns. So again, take that for what you will. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this Packers offense gets back on track. I've been saying forever, I think it's only a matter of time until Eddie Lacy breaks out, and maybe now that it's starting to finally hear, you know, as we're getting into the late November timeframe, we're finally encountering the winter weather here. I mean, even, you know, snow forecasted here in the state of Wisconsin later today, as I, you know, speak here on a Friday morning. It's the front is moving in several inches throughout the state of Wisconsin today, you know, snow, wind. It's been, oh my gosh, it's been windy in the state, well, at least where I live in Madison lately. So cold, wind, and snow, you know, that it's now winter football weather, and you can pass in those conditions. Wind is tough. I mean, if it's a real windy game, that's tough. You can pass if it's cold, but I just don't see the Packers, you know, fixing everything, you know, in time for this week. I just hope there's gradual progress and they're clicking by the time December turns to January. Maybe they win out from here on out. Maybe. Let's hope that's the case. Anyway, last segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, I think the big thing you're looking for today is the status of wide receiver Ty Montgomery. He's kind of the player whose status is most in the air for this game because he was downgraded on the injury report from Thursday to Friday or Wednesday to Thursday. Wednesday, he was a full participant and you thought, oh, that's great. It was the first time he had been listed as a full participant in practice since he was injured. And that was now a month ago. That was the Chargers game. So he missed the bye week and he missed now three games. And you thought, wow, finally, he's just about to be back here. And then all of a sudden he's got a setback. He went from limited to or full to limited. And you're just kind of disheartened, shake your head and I'll be like, ah, another setback. And apparently, according to the beat writers, I haven't seen the interview with Ty Montgomery. He didn't want to characterize it as a setback. Maybe he's just being optimistic, but I don't know how you characterize it as anything else. So anyway, the Packers release an updated injury report Friday afternoon that includes those game day status projections. He'll either be listed as probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. And you got to imagine he's going to be in that questionable category. He's been that way. He was originally listed that last Friday before they downgraded him to doubtful after Saturday's practice. I think he's going to be in the same category there. We'll see. Just because he's Aaron Rodgers, people are going to be interested to see what, you know, his status is. But I think, you know, you saw him on Thursday. He was the opposite of Ty Montgomery. He was upgraded. He went from limited to full practice. So I think you're just going to see Aaron Rodgers listed as probable, and there's not going to be, you know, any drama there with his game status. Mike McCarthy even said he's got no concern about Aaron Rodgers playing. Yeah, he might be dealing with a shoulder injury. And by the way, in fact, kind of talking about this on Twitter yesterday, I kind of threw out there the Packers, nobody has acknowledged kind of the origin of this shoulder injury for Aaron Rodgers. And I've seen a couple people speculate, is it fatigue? He threw the ball 61 times this past game. That's not the case. It could be a fatigue injury, but it's not because he threw the ball 61 times this past game. This is a guy that throws 100 football. When you're talking about practice and warm-ups and everything combined, he throws over 100 passes a day. You know, one game is not, you know, hurting his shoulder from a fatigue standpoint. It could be fatigue, but if it is, it's like, you know, overtime, reps, just after reps after reps. I doubt that's the case as well. And I threw this out there on Twitter being like, let's get down to this. When did this shoulder injury occur? And a lot of people got back to me the Chargers game and saying he took some shots to the shoulder there. And I've yet to see any, if anybody wants to share digitally, you know, on Twitter or whatever, you know, the hits, I know it's, you know, for most people, you just can't magically make, you know, video appear. But I'd like to get to the bottom of this and see what happened. If anybody has any video out there of when, you know, these hits Aaron Rodgers took happened, feel free to pass them along to me on Twitter at Brian Caravu. I think people are be interested in seeing that, whether it's one hits or multiple hits or whatever. But see, people seem to be pointing back to the San Diego Chargers game, and maybe it's just kind of a, you know, another thing where it just builds up. He's been taking hits week after week. You know, it was the Panthers game where he took 14 hits in total. And the Packers, you know, offensive line had a poor game then. But anyway, there's your show for today. Sorry I predicted a loss, folks. I hope I'm wrong. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll see you back here on Monday as we'll recap a Packers, hopefully, victory here at Railbird Central. Live editions of the show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, if you've not done so already, one small thing we ask, give us a rating and a review on iTunes. You can keep it brief. I'm not looking for anyone to write a novel, but this show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we ask in return. Helps us get word out about the show. So yeah, we'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend, everybody. And go Pack, go. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.
Every night I pace the hall, just waiting for your call, anticipating your next move, it's got me bouncing off the wall.